Good morning. How we doing? Great to see you today. Those that are here this morning, those that are watching online as well, we're starting a brand new series this week called You Make Me Crazy. And so go ahead and take your note sheets out and turn in your Bibles, if you have them there with you this morning, to James chapter 3. And this series is about relational health, and every fall I do a series on relationships in some form, and largely because in the fall we normally have a bunch of new people and guests that come and check out our church. And so last November, when I planned for this next year, I had no idea that we would be in the COVID situation that we find ourselves in. So you all get to go through again just this idea of relationships. And so we're looking at the crazy makers in your life, right? Those people that just kind of irritate you, and we're going to see how to deal with them, right? I heard a story of a pastor who went to visit an elderly lady in his church, and she had lost her husband a number of years ago, and so she's like in her mid-80s, and he just went to pay a visit, see how she was doing. And so they're sitting in the living room, and it's around lunchtime, and then the pastor there was getting kind of hungry, and she had this big bowl of peanuts sitting on the coffee table. And so he had one. And you know how it is with peanuts, right? You just can't have one. Right? And so he just started eating more and more, and pretty soon the entire bowl was gone. And so he felt a little embarrassed by that, and he said to the elderly lady, he said how sorry he was for eating all of her peanuts. And she said this. She said, "Don't worry, I can't chew them after I've sucked all the chocolate off of them." So the point is this, the point is that we all do foolish things sometimes, usually unintentional, but sometimes intentionally. And wisdom doesn't get rid of our problems, but wisdom can minimize them for sure. And so if we know how to respond wisely in situations, like you might want to ask before you take a peanut, just saying, right? It helps to reduce the problems that we encounter. And so it's all about wisdom and knowing how not to be foolish. And so nowhere are we more foolish in life, I think, than in relationships, right? We foolishly treat people in ways that are just counterproductive, right? We provoke people, and somehow we think that that's going to produce more of what we want out of a relationship, but in reality, it's just plain foolish to do that, right? It's not wise. So the classic passage on wisdom is the book of James, chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 13, go through 18, and then we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so it says this, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, it's unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Let's just stop right there for a second. Do you have any chaos in your life? Right? Any disorder? Any area of your life confused? Bible says wherever you find confusion, where you find disharmony, wherever you find disorder, there's ego involved there. Well, whether it's at home or at the office, he says, wherever you find jealousy and selfish ambition, you're going to find disorder and every kind of evil. Okay, let's go ahead and read on. Verse 17, but wisdom, the wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so the application in these verses, as we think about relationships, it's just rich. It's just full. And first we see that wisdom is a way of relating, right? It has to do with what we do, not necessarily what we think. Like a lot of people think wisdom is about intelligence, but it says here that wisdom is about how we treat people, right? It shows up in our good works, James says. It shows up in relationships. Verses 14 through 16 talks about how we typically relate to people. Those are foolish ways of going about it. When we get bitter and we get angry and we're resentful and jealous. When we're all about selfish ambition. He says those things are foolish ways and you don't get what you want and what you need out of any relationship when we do those kinds of things. And then in verse 18, those who harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so every day we sow seeds in our relationships, right? We reap what we sow. And so if we sow seeds of trust and peace and love and harmony, we reap those things. But the opposite is true as well. If we sow seeds of distrust and anger and jealousy, guess what? It's what you reap. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at verse 17 specifically as it gives us some principles for healthy relationships, I think. So James talks about what wisdom is, right? So if you're taking notes, here's the first one. Wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, it says. But the wisdom from above is pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. We're going to look at each one of those as we move through the message this morning. So go ahead and write down in your notes that word pure, right? The word means uncorrupted, clean, unpolluted, untainted. And what he's driving at here is a word that we use today that's probably kind of describes all of that, and that's the word integrity, right? Which is the foundation of all good and healthy relationships. And it's listed here first because I believe wisdom starts in the heart and not in the head. Integrity speaks to trust, and all relationships are built on trust, right? No trust, no relationship. And so trust is built on truth. And if you don't have truth, then you don't have trust. And without trust, we don't have what? We don't have much of a relationship, right? Two people that are in a relationship, one or both parties are not truthful, then it's hard to have a good, solid relationship. You might have an arrangement, you might have a commitment, but there's no relationship. It has to be built on trust and truth, right? Honesty is the bedrock of all good relationships. You probably never heard of Dr. Leonard Keeler. He's pretty famous when I tell you. He invented the lie detector, and he has tested over 25,000 people during his lifetime, and here's what his conclusion is. His conclusion was, we all lie. Right? He said, humans are fundamentally, by nature, dishonest. Right? And I read that, and I thought, well, that's not really shocking. The Bible says we all sin, right? Fall short of the glory of God. And then I got to thinking about it. We all lie. And I thought, well, you know, maybe there's some truth to that. We all lie to God, right? We lie to other people. We lie to ourselves. We have this amazing ability to tell ourselves things that aren't true and convince ourselves that they really are. Right? The Bible says what? The heart is what? Deceitful. And so we have to start with integrity, James says. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. And so if we want our relationships to get better, if we want to be wise in our relationships, then we don't compromise our integrity, right? We don't violate our conscience. We don't compromise our convictions, right? We tell the truth because trust is built on truth. Proverbs 2:7 talking about God, he says he stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And you and I need a shield in our lives sometimes against the crazy makers that come into our lives and people who try to mess us up. And God says, I'll be your shield. But he says, you what? You have to walk in integrity. So first, wisdom is pure. And to be wise in relationships, we don't compromise our integrity. Second, wisdom is peaceable. In other words, wise people are peacemakers, not troublemakers. Right? Wise people don't have a chip on their shoulder. Wise people are not always looking for a fight. Right? If you love a fight, then you're probably not that wise. The Bible says that wise people are peace-loving people. Foolish people love to argue. Right? Just go on Facebook, right? And especially with all the political stuff that's going on right now, and people are just looking for a fight. Right? It's just foolishness. If we want to be wise in our relationships, we won't antagonize somebody's anger, right? We won't intentionally push hot buttons or provoke people or egg people on. My two oldest grandkids are 6 and 8, right? You know what they say around their house? When it gets like this, they go, somebody's pushing buttons, right? I mean, 6 and 8, they get it. The reality is, you've been around someone for any length of time, you quickly figure out what irritates them. And then you file that in the back of your mind and you use it as a tool to pull out when you get into an argument. Right? It's like a weapon of mass destruction. When somebody says something to you and it hurts you, it offends you, it slights you, then you pull out the big gun. Right? You push the button and you go, yep, works every time. You know what the Bible calls that? Not smart. Right? You're not getting any closer to resolution. You're not helping the relationship. In fact, you're actually hurting it. Right? It's just not wise. Let's not antagonize someone's anger. Proverbs 23, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Right? So don't be baited by the internet trolls, right? The Facebook post. Somebody posts something off the wall, and you know, you just gotta respond, don't you? You just gotta argue with them. Most of the time, you probably don't even know who the person is. And the truth is, we all use tools, tricks of the trade, skills and relationships that are actually counterproductive, right? They're hurtful, they're harmful, they don't get you what you want out of the relationship, but when you lack wisdom, what do? You use them anyway, right? I'm gonna give you 3 today. Right, tools that you should never use because they always antagonize people's anger. Number one is to compare. Right, always makes them mad. Right, well, why can't you be like? All right, you're just like your mother. Right, or you're just like your dad. Right, just not helpful. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves to one another, they are without understanding. Right? It's just not a wise thing to do. It's not a wise thing to compare your wife, your husband, your kids, your yard, your car, whatever it may be. Comparing antagonizes anger. Secondly, is to condemn. Right? When you start laying guilt in a relationship, you start making people feel guilty for what they've done. You start making people feel ashamed. All you're going to get is exactly the opposite of what you expect, right? It just doesn't work. Condemning is foolish. And then the third one is to contradict. Have you ever watched a spouse correct every detail of a story that their spouse is telling? Right? It's irritating, right? It's painful. If you're wise, you don't sweat the small stuff. You don't get hooked into it. I'm thinking, if my wife did that to me, I'm like the king of embellishing, right? I almost said the wrong word there. Did you catch that? Woo! I caught myself. Right? William James, a famous psychologist, said this: wisdom is the art of knowing what to overlook. And sometimes there's things in relationships you just need to overlook, not make a big deal about it. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Right? Have you ever said something or done something purely out of anger? I have. See, when you get angry, our intelligence goes out the window. When we get angry, we do stupid things. Wise people are slow to anger. Because what we do in anger most of the time only hurts us. All right, the third thing wisdom is gentle all the time. Philippians 4:5 says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The ESV says reasonableness. The NIV translates gentleness. The NLT says considerate. Right? You mean to tell me I have to be considerate when people are inconsiderate to me? Yep. I have to be gentle with the clerk who is rude? Yep. You mean I don't get to get even with them? Not if you want to be wise. Wise people are gentle, considerate, reasonable to everyone. And this is so important. When people are gentle, when people are blasting away at them, well, why do we need to do that? Because being considerate is the antidote to two most common mistakes people make in relationships. The first mistake we make is to react to what people say and ignore how they feel. Right? People say stuff when they're angry they don't even mean. Right? They exaggerate things. But what we need to do is we need to look behind those words at the emotion. People don't always say what they mean, but they do feel what they feel. And so to be wise in relationships, we stop focusing on your kids, your spouse, your boss, and what they say that makes you mad, and you look behind those words. And you try to figure out, what emotion are they feeling here? Why are they feeling that emotion? See, being gentle is to be mindful of the feelings of others. What caused them to be uptight or rude? Because remember this, hurt people always hurt people. Unkind people are rude and unkind. And what they're screaming to the world is this. They're screaming to the world that I'm in pain. That's what they're saying. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says this. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And the idea here isn't bearing with, but bearing up the weaker brother, right? Supporting him with your strength. Well, which goes against the whole mantra of our times, right? Which says that to look out for yourself, right? And it despises those who live a life of sacrifice for the sake of somebody else. And yet, undeniably, Paul points the way to happiness and fulfillment in life is to get your eyes off of yourself and start building others up, and then you will find yourself built up as well. And so the other mistake we make is to invalidate any feelings that we don't feel ourselves. Right? If I don't feel the way you feel, then your feelings aren't right. Right? They're irrational, they're illogical, they make no sense, and so you shouldn't feel it. Right? And so we just dismiss them, and that is not wise. Have you ever played the "it's cold" game in here thing? Right, like we play this all the time. It's cold. No, it's not. I'm cold. How could you be cold? And then on and on it goes. Right, and then we start to argue over that kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is, the fact is, can somebody be cold and somebody else be warm at the same time? Yes, they can. And so why do we argue about that? Well, like whoever invented the dual control heat and AC thing in the car, genius stuff right there. Right? We invalidate other people's feelings because we don't feel it. We minimize that person. And the reality is, feelings aren't right or wrong. They're just there. Right? They're not facts. They are what they are. And if we want to be wise in relationships, we won't minimize another person's feelings. And the typical reaction when we don't feel what other people feel is to do two things. One is we belittle them, right? If you had a brain, you would know that's just not true, right? Doesn't help, not helpful. And the second one's worse is we try to play psychologist, right? The reason you feel that way is, right? The thing is, you're not a psychologist. And it's just condescending when you try to tell people why they feel the way they feel. Again, just not helpful. Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So let's remember that wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is considerate. So to be wise, we let people feel the way they feel, and we offer them what? Gentle words that will what? Build them up. All right, number four. Wisdom is willing to yield to others. Right? It's open to reason. It allows for discussion. Right? The Greek word here in James 3:17, the word for open to reason, it's the only time in the Bible that it's used, and it's a great word for wisdom in relationships. It means that you're not stubborn, you're not defensive. And how do you know that, by the way? How do you know if you have this kind of quality in your life? One of the main ways you know is how you listen. Right? The wiser you are, the better listener you will be. And I have to admit, I'm probably pretty unwise in this area in relationships. Right? I have this tendency to finish people's sentences for them. Right? Like I know what they're going to say next. Right? Anybody else do that? Oh, okay, good. We got one. I'm not the only one. Thank you. Right? I think I used to be really bad about it. I think as I'm getting older, I'm getting a little bit better. But they say something, and I want to like move the conversation along, and so I finish their thought for them, right? Super unwise. I'm not letting them say what they want to say, and I'm not hearing what I probably need to hear. Right? So instead of that, you want to be open to reason, right? Willing to listen, willing to learn. Yeah, if I asked you here today, if you're a reasonable person, what would you say? You would say yes, right? How would you know that, though? I mean, just think about this for a second. If you were unreasonable, you wouldn't know you were unreasonable because you're unreasonable. Right? So how do you know if you're a reasonable person? I think one of the main ways is can people disagree with you? Right? And if you have people in your life that you disagree with, but they can reason with you, you can talk it through, it's one way that you know that you're a reasonable person. And a lot of us have this attitude like, don't confuse me with the facts, right? Because why? My mind's made up. And when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Right? When we have that attitude, that is just unwise. And so if we want to be wise, I won't criticize your suggestions. Right? Because a wise person can learn from anyone. Like even a broken clock is right twice a day. Okay? Let that sink in. Right? So people in your life will be right. Here's what God does in my life, and I've seen this over and over again, and it totally humbles me when it comes to listening to other people's suggestions. There will be people that just drive you crazy. They irritate you like you know what, right? And they're going to have suggestions, and guess what? They're going to be good, and they're going to be right. I hate that, by the way, but it's true. They might be wrong about a lot of things, but they're going to be right about something. The question is can you learn from them? Proverbs 18:15, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Or in other words, are you open to new ideas? And in fact, do you actually look for them? Do we look and are we open for new ideas in our lives? All right, the fifth thing that wisdom is that wisdom is full of mercy and good deeds. Write down the word mercy in your notes. If I'm going to be wise, I'm going to maximize mercy, right? I'm going to major on mercy in my relationships, full of mercy and good deeds. In other words, it's wise to show mercy to people when they mess up, right? When they blow it, when they sin, when they flub up, when they have faults, when they fail, right? It's wise to show mercy. Like, who's the wisest person in the universe? God, right? Who's the most merciful person in the universe? God. Right? Think there's a little connection there? I think there's a connection. I think foolish people are critical and wise people are merciful. Anytime I show you mercy, I'm acting and I'm being like God. And that's a wise thing to do. It's wise to give people the benefit of the doubt, right? It's wise to show grace, to show mercy, to be forgiving. God forgives me, and so I should what? Forgive others, which is sometimes really hard to do. But everything I have in life is a sure gift from God, right? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the mercy of God. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, I wouldn't see, touch, hear, smell. I wouldn't exist. Everything I have, everything that you have is because God is merciful and He's a gracious God. And God doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me what I need. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be standing here. Right? In fact, next time you run into Deborah Thompson, our children's director, ask her what we deserve. She'll tell you. Right? If I want to be wise, I want to emphasize your mistakes. Wise people don't rub it in. Wise people are merciful. And so how do you rate on the mercy scale? Right? Did you jump on every fault? Are you picking at people and pointing out every error that they make? Did you continue to bring up the past, every little sin that your husband or wife has ever done? Right? Do you file it away and then pull it out when you need to get a little leverage? The Bible says this in Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. So do you forgive or do you dwell? I mean, just think of the person that you're closest to in your life. And even though you love them, there are some things that flat out bug you about them. There just are, right? And those things that just set you off. And I'm going to say this morning, you just need to let that go. Right? It's foolish to hold on to that kind of stuff. We just need to let it go. Wisdom is full of mercy. All right, last one, number 6. Wisdom is impartial and always sincere. And these are interesting words. And in the original language, the words, I'm going to try to say these, I'll butcher them, but ata diakritos and any pakritos, or something along those lines. They're similar words, right? It is impartial and sincere. That's what those words are. And you probably know in Greek plays, one guy would often play many parts in the play, right? And he would come out wearing a mask and he would say his part. And then he'd go back behind the stage, get another mask, come out and play that part. He'd just keep doing that over and over and over again. And the Greek word for that person is called a hypokritos, right? The word, we get the word hypocrite from it, right? It means to wear a mask. And so he is always acting in this different role. But these words are exact opposite of that, impartial and sincere. They mean to be genuine, without hypocrisy. You're the real deal, right? The word we use today would be the word authentic. And if I want to be wise in my relationships, I won't disguise my intentions. I won't wear a mask. I won't fake it till I make it, right? It's just not wise. I won't pretend. I won't trick you. I won't take advantage of you. I won't just deliberately mislead you. And the point is this, is that foolish people are fake and wise people are authentic with their warts and all. It's like what you see is what you get. And in our culture, the one place where people fake it more than anywhere else, and you guessed it, it's online, right? People online are always trying to make themselves look better than what they are. Proverbs 10:18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Psalms 12:2, everyone utters lies to his neighbor without flattering lips and a double heart they speak. And this is talking about a person who thinks one thing and says or does another. It's described as having two hearts or a double heart. Those to whom David here refers may as well have been saying and even doing what God required, and yet their hearts were not motivated by faith and devotion. And therefore, God said, what? I don't want to be part of that. Why? Because they were hypocrites. So if I'm honest, if I'm real, if I'm wise, I will not disguise who I really am. And so as your pastor, can I say this to you? If we don't learn some godly wisdom, and I see this over and over again, time and time again, people who go through life making the same relational mistakes over and over again. And we will not get out of our relationship what we're looking for. right? And we're looking for an intimate, satisfying relationship that God has intended for you to have. And so how do I get the wisdom to stop making foolish relationship mistakes? Well, you don't get it from online blogs, right? You don't get it from TV. You get it from knowing God and doing what he says to do, right? You do the word. Knowing God and doing his word. The Bible is filled with a bunch of wisdom for you. First part of Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom in your relationship? It starts with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:2-3, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is the key to open up the treasure of God's wisdom and knowledge. We have to know Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. And God, thank you for just you wanting us to be wise and not foolish in our relationships. And God, I pray today that everyone here will just make that commitment to be here for the next 8 weeks or so as we talk about how to strengthen our good relationships, how to heal the bad ones in our lives, how to deal with those people that are just crazy makers in our lives. But God, today we start with us. And so God, help us not to compromise our integrity. Help us not to antagonize people's anger. God, would you help us not to minimize people's feelings or criticize their suggestions. And God, help us not to disguise who we really are. Give us the ability to be genuine and authentic. And so to do all of that, God, we need your wisdom. And God, for myself, I just want to know Jesus better and better each day. God, pray that you would help me to do your word every day as well. So God, give us your wisdom today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.